Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Darim Daf Tes Vav. We're in the middle of a discussion that we began yesterday with the new Mishnah towards the bottom of Yudalim at Beis. We'll quickly chazer over before we see inside. So yesterday we had a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav and Rav Nachman. We had the statement that was made in the Beis Medrash, Konam Einai Bishena. My eyes should be aser with sleep. In other words, I shouldn't be able to sleep Hayom today. If I will sleep tomorrow. Now, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So what about allowing yourself to sleep today? Maybe tomorrow you won't sleep, and then there's no problem with sleeping today. But, in fact, if you do sleep tomorrow, then it was also in retrospect to sleep today. So Yehuda Amar Rav says, Ayishon Hayom, don't sleep today, because you never know what's going to happen. Maybe you're going to sleep tomorrow, Shamayishon Lamochar, and you'll therefore be over your neder by sleeping today if you sleep tomorrow. So don't sleep today. And Rav Nachman says, no, we don't have to worry about that. If a person sleeps tomorrow, so then he's not allowed to sleep today. But right now, you can sleep today because hopefully you won't sleep tomorrow and you won't be over your neder. So how much of a precaution do we take? Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, you got to take all precautions possible. Don't sleep today because you may sleep tomorrow. Whereas Rav Nachman says, listen, you're allowed to sleep today and just make sure you don't sleep tomorrow so the neder doesn't get transgressed. So this is a big machlokas between Yehuda Amar Rav and Rav Nachman. And we're going to spend almost the entire shiur today trying to disprove Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's statement that we don't allow a person to sleep today if he says, if I sleep tomorrow, then it's also for me to sleep today. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's precaution, so he says you can't sleep today because maybe you'll end up sleeping tomorrow and then it'll be retroactively also to sleep today. So don't even sleep today for that possibility. We're going to spend the whole shiur today trying to disprove that. And we'll have case after case that goes through that. So we begin on the second line of Tes Vav Omen Aleph with our Mishnah, where he said, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Konam Sha'ani Yoshein. We said in our Mishnah, this was the Mishnah at the bottom of Yudalim Amud Beis, person says, it should be also to be like a carbon that I sleep, or Sha'ani Mahalech, that I walk, or Sha'ani Medaber, or that I talk, v'chulei. And we said, Hechidomi, what is this case talking about? And we explained this when we did the Mishnah, but now we'll see it inside. So the case is as follows. If it's a simple thing that he says that my sleeping or my walking or my talking should be usher, so that's not a neder. Shani yashen mi havi nidra. If a person says it should be usher for me to sleep, usher for me to walk, usher for me to talk, so that's not a neder because a neder is only chal on an item as opposed to a shvuah that can be chal on an action. So that's what the Gemara says. This can't be understood in the straightforward way that a person says it's usher for me to sleep, usher for me to walk, usher for me to talk. Because in that situation, Shani Yashem, we have a neder. That's not a neder. And therefore, now the gear that we have is Vatnan, but this is really a Braisa of Vatanya, and you can see this in the Hagos and Siyunim Oz Beis. We said the right gear should be over here, Vatanya, Tzrichomar Vatanya. In any event, this Braisa says, Chomer Bishvul, so this is where we've learned this din that I just said. The Braisa says specifically, we had this early in the Masechta already, that it's stricter by Shavuos, so Shavuos, Cholos, Aldover Sheesh Bo Mamish, Vyaldover Sheen Bo Mamish. Mashen came in the Darn. Now, we said that the din is by a Shavua, it can be Chal on something that's an item, or it can be Chal on something that's an action. Dover Sheesh Bo Mamish, that's an item, and Dover Sheen Bo Mamish, that's an action. As opposed to Mashen came in the Darn. In regards to the Darn, can only take effect on something that's an item. Vishena and sleeping or talking or walking is a dover shein bo mamishu. It's an action. It's not an item. So therefore, how could this possibly be what it means when you say konim shani yoshin shani mahalik shani yudaber that should be a regular neder? So therefore, the Gemara says obviously when the Mishnah was saying this, it meant elo domar konam einai vishena. It meant that my eyes. Now that's an item. So the sleep that comes on my eyes that should be usher. So therefore, you're not talking about sleep as a concept. You're talking about the item, the eyes, they shouldn't allow them to go to sleep. So to the mouth, it shouldn't be allowed to speak. So to the feet, they shouldn't be allowed to walk. And therefore, that is a valid neder. Elul da'amar konam einai b'sheina. So therefore, he's talking about his eyes and not the act of sleeping. Okay, so we answer that. Furthermore, the Gemara says, v'delo yohiv shiro, and if you didn't give a time period, a certain amount of time that you wouldn't be allowed to sleep for, so then, mishav kinon le ad avat isur bayachal. So then we don't say, then he doesn't have to go and get malchus, he doesn't go and transgress his isur until he actually sleeps. So if he says, no, I asa myself to sleep, so then he immediately is going to asa it if he doesn't give a time limit to it. Because, v'amar Rabbi Yochanan, we learned previously, Rabbi Yochanan says, that if a person says a shvua that he will not sleep, shlo ishan, shlo shayamim, that a person will not sleep for 72 hours for 3 days, so then it's impossible. A person cannot go that long without sleeping. And therefore, malkin also, we give him malkus right away, as the top Ran says, mishum shvua shav, because this is a false shvua. He can't swear, I will not sleep for 3 days. It's impossible. And therefore, we give him malkus right away, v'yashin liyatu, and he can go to sleep right away because he's already transgressed his shvua. We don't wait till he falls asleep 68 hours later, 52 hours later. We give him the malkus right now, and he can then go to sleep because his neder is already broken. So the Gemara is telling us that if you don't time limit the guy saying, I will not sleep for an hour, 5 hours, 10 hours a day, so then if he doesn't give a time limit on it, so then that isn't going to be something that's chal, because he's immediately transgressing it by not giving a time limit, because Rav Yochanan says that if he doesn't give a time limit to it of under 3 days, he's automatically transgressing it. So therefore, the Mishnah can't be talking about that there's no time limit on it. It must have a time limit on it, or else we wouldn't get off the ground. Ella, so what is our Mishnah's explanation? Ella, the Omar, what our Mishnah is actually saying, Konem Einai Mishina, that my eyes should be also to sleep, Lamachar, tomorrow, Im Ishan Hayom, if I sleep today. Oh, that's what the nether that we're talking about in our Mishnah. The person says, if I sleep today, so then it's also for me to sleep tomorrow. What's the problem with that, though? Ha'amris, Kol Bi'isure Mizdar. So there's no problem in making such a nether, because everybody agreed. We were in yesterday's show, we said that Modeh Rav Yehuda Amar Rav to Rav Nachman, that in this scenario where the person says, I will be usher in sleeping tomorrow if I sleep today, that you're allowed to sleep today, because now it's no longer a question tomorrow, is the nether chal, is the nether not chal? The minute you sleep today, boom, the nether is chal tomorrow. So here, everybody agreed, even Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, who agreed with Rav Nachman, that when there's a vaday nether, now it's no longer a question about tomorrow, is it a nether or not? No, by the fact that you slept today, you said, Konim Einai Bishino Lamochar, it's also going to sleep tomorrow, Im Eishan Ayom. And in that situation, everybody agrees you can sleep today, and boom, that will kick in the nether, and you won't be allowed to sleep tomorrow. But now it'll be a vod nether, and everybody in that situation will agree that in that situation, you can be Zahir not to sleep tomorrow. And even Rav Yehuda Amar Rav will say that's not a problem. And that's what we said. Ha'amris, we said, Kol Bi'isure, once it's a Vada Isur, Mizdar, a person will be careful. So even Rav Yehuda Amar Rav would say there's no problem in sleeping today, even though that kicks in and makes the nether take effect for tomorrow. So then the only way to understand the Mishnah, and here's where it's going to be a Shaila on Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, is Elapshito, our Mishnah is talking about the Omar, where the person said, Konem Einai Bishina, that it should be also for my eyes to sleep Hayom, today, Im Ishan Lamochar, if I go to sleep tomorrow. Now, what basically is happening over here is that if he sleeps tomorrow, in retrospect, he wasn't allowed to sleep today. Now, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said in that situation, don't sleep today because maybe you'll sleep tomorrow, and therefore don't take any chances. Now, V'i lo noyim hayom, if he didn't at all sleep today, so then what difference does it make? Ki nayim l'mocher, if he sleeps tomorrow, my bal yachel devaru ikah, then there's no transgressing the nether, because he says that if I sleep tomorrow, then it's also for me to sleep today. But if he didn't sleep today, so then there's no issue. There's no bal yachel. He didn't sleep, so therefore he's not transgressing the nether. Oh, so what must it be? El olav b'dinayim. We're talking where he did sleep today. Oh, that goes against Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says we don't let him sleep today. Alma isay d'nayim. We're talking about where we let him sleep today. And therefore, Utiyofta the Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And this is a kasha on Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, we don't let him sleep today. He's not allowed to sleep today because maybe he'll sleep tomorrow. And then retroactively, he'll be also able to sleep today. But the Mishnah is clearly talking about a case where he sleeps today, and only then when he sleeps tomorrow is he over by Yachel. But it doesn't say that he can't sleep today. So it's a kasha, Utiyofta on Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So he says, no. You have to read the Gemara as follows. Kiktani, when you read the Mishnah, he's telling us, De'i noyim, if you sleep today, so then you're going to be over the issue tomorrow, when you sleep tomorrow. So therefore, don't sleep today. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav would say, this is a riot to me. This is, in fact, my shita. Don't sleep today, because if you sleep tomorrow, then you'll transgress, you'll be over by Yachel Devaro, by your having slept today. So therefore, L'chadchila, don't sleep today. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, this is perfectly consistent with my opinion. Ravina gives a different teretz. Ravina Amar no. Liolam kidiktani. The Mishnah is actually talking about where the person says, sleep should be also to me. We just said, if he says sleep is also to me, that's not a neder, and it shouldn't take effect. So how can Ravina say this? Well, my Bayachel, then how is it Bayachel? It's not a good neder. So Ravina says it's a good neder midirabbanon. Midirabbanon, so you're right. The neder doesn't take effect on an action. However, the rabbi said, if we don't say this neder takes effect, it's going to lead to a takala, because next time I'll make a neder that does take effect, they'll say that didn't take effect there, it won't take effect here as well. So therefore, Ravina says, Chazal enacted over here a takana, that even a neder that's on an action does take effect, midirabbanon. And therefore, our Mishnah can't be used as a raya towards or against Rav Yehuda Marav and Rav Nachman in their machlokes. It has nothing to do with it. So the Gemara questions and says, really? According to you, Ravina, this is midirabbanon, he's over Baal Yachal. Is that true? Umik or Baal Yachal midirabbanon? Do we find such a thing that a person is over a neder, Baal Yachal, his neder, midirabbanon? Do we find such a thing? Or it says, yeah, we do, in. And I'll show you where, Vatanya, because we have the following brisa. This Vatanya over here is a proof. Yes, I'll show you that we do have such a brisa. Because it says, Dvarim hamutarim, if something is permitted. However, v'acherim no gubem iser. But certain people have accepted upon themselves that this is usr. So you, as the Rav, you're not allowed to go say, yeah, you can do it. Because they have accepted upon themselves that this is prohibited, so you can't go and be matirit for them. Why not? What's the problem? Because shenemar lo yachel dvoro. This brisa says, because you would be over lo yachel dvoro. Now, this lo yachel dvoro is only midirabbanan, because midiraisa, it was mutter. These people have accepted upon themselves to take it upon themselves to be something that's aser. But if you tell them, no, it's mutter, so you're going to break their accepting something midirabbanan upon themselves. And therefore, you shouldn't do that. You'd be over lo yachel. Oh, so you see that there is this concept of being over lo yachel midirabbanan. Okay. Mor says, we'll try again to shlug up Rav Yehuda Marav. Tanan, we learned in the following Mishnah, this is a Mishnah we'll learn later in the Masechta, the Mishnah says, She'at nenisli ad ha-Pesach im telchi lebeis avich ad hechag. Now, not exactly a formula for a successful marriage, but Gemara is always telling us things that aren't necessarily recommended. We just have to know what the din is. So here, the husband was not happy with his wife. He felt that she was going to her parents too often, and he said, it is forbidden for you to get hanor from me from now until Pesach time, if you go to your parents' house until Sukkot time. Now, we're somewhere before Pesach now. So let's say we're in the middle of Purim time, and he's upset that his wife is going to her parents too often. And he says, it's forbidden for you to get any hanor from me from now until Pesach time, if you even visit with your folks up until Sukkot time. So if she goes to her parents between now, let's say Purim, and Sukkot, so then she's forbidden to get any hanor from her husband until Pesach. Now, what happens? Hol chol lifnei ha-Pesach. If she, in fact, visited her parents before Pesach, so now, asura behanaso ad ha-Pesach. So then, she has caused his isra hanah from him to her to take effect. And therefore, she is asura. By going to her parents before Pesach time, so she has caused this isra hanah to take effect on her, and she's also to get hanah from her husband up until Pesach time. Hol chol lifnei ha-Pesach. Now, this Mishnah says only if she went before Pesach time is this Issa going to take effect, Asura. The implication being, lo hocha, if she did not go between Purim and Pesach, so then she's allowed to go and get an offer from her husband up to Pesach time. Lo, there is no problem. But wait a second. She is forbidden to go to her parents' house based upon this vow that her husband said up until Sukkot time. So yes, she didn't go before Pesach, so right now she's permitted. But what happens if she goes after Pesach? At Shavuot she goes to her parents' house. Or Rosh Hashanah goes to her parents' house. That's before Sukkot. So then retroactively, the neder will have kicked in. And therefore she would have been usher to get hanor from her husband up to Pesach time. But she did get hanor from her husband. Aye, that's exactly what Rav Nachman says. Rav Nachman says that if you go and say, I will not be allowed to sleep today, if I sleep tomorrow, so Rav Nachman says, you're allowed to sleep today, just be careful that you don't sleep tomorrow. So too Rav Nachman say over here, she's allowed to go and get an off from her husband, just make sure you don't go to your parents' house up till Sukkot time. So you didn't go before Pesach, just make sure you don't go before Sukkot as well. So Rav Nachman fits in perfectly well with this Mishnah, but Rav Yehuda Marav, who said, listen, if I say that it's awesome for me to sleep today, if I'm going to sleep tomorrow, I better not sleep today, because who knows what will happen tomorrow? Maybe I'll sleep tomorrow, and in retrospect, it'll be awesome for me to sleep today. So to over here, this woman should be told, do not get any hanor from your husband before Pesach time, because you may end up going, even though you haven't gone yet, But you may end up going before Sukkot to your parents' house. And then retroactively, you'll have been also to get this Hanor. So if Rav Yehuda Merab is right, the Mishnah should have said, you are not allowed to get Hanor from your husband. Even if you haven't gone before Pesach to your parents' house, you still shouldn't be able to get Hanor because maybe you'll end up going. And then in retrospect, it will be also for you to get Hanor. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah only said, if she went, Holcha, if she went Livnei Pesach, then it's Asura. But Lo Holcha, it's before Pesach, she hasn't gone to her parents' house. The Mishnah doesn't prohibit her from getting Hanor from her husband. But Rav Yehuda Merab should say that she should. This is Atiyufta on Rav Yehuda Merab. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says, no, you read the Mishnah as follows. Holcha lifnei Pesach, if she goes, in fact, to her parents' house before Pesach, so Asura, that is forbidden, velo ka. Now we have the Girsa velo ka, that she gets Malkus. And the Ran, that's the preferred reading of the Ran. The Ran, however, brings down the Rambam that says, lo ke, that he gets the Malkus, because he's the one that made the nether, and he shouldn't have allowed her to transgress it. He shouldn't have given her any Hanor. So the Rambam, interestingly here, says, Asura, that she's forbidden to go and get Hanor from her husband, and if she does, so then, since he gave her the Hanor, he gets the Malkus. In any event, the Ran says he prefers his pshat, that it's she who gets the Malkus. In any event, this is the way Rabbi Abba says you have to learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that if she did indeed go to her parents' house before Pesach, so then she's definitely transgressing the neder, and then either she or her husband, the machlokas between the Ran and the Rambam, so somebody's going to get Malkus over here. But lo holcha, the way Rabbi Abba would say that Rabbi Yehuda Merab would learn the Mishnah is, lo holcha, but if she didn't go, Asura Biyama, she still shouldn't get any Hanor from her husband, but she won't get Malkus in that situation because she hasn't transgressed the nether yet. But don't get any Hanor from your husband because you might transgress the nether. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda Merab is exactly in accord with our Mishnah. Gemara says, no, not so fast. Amos Sefer, keep on reading this Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah, it says, what happens if she goes after Pesach to visit her parents? So then she's over Babal Yachel Devaro. So then she has transgressed this nether, because the husband said, it's also for you to get in and off for me if you go to your parents' house up until Sukkot time. Now, if she didn't get Hanah before Pesach time, so then how's she over the nether? V'i delo is Hani lifnei haPesach. If she didn't get Hanor before Pesach, so then Ma'ika Balyachal. Then how is she over going to a parent's house? The prohibition was if she goes to a parent's house, she's also got Hanor. But if she didn't get any Hanor, so then she's not over the net there. There's no Balyachal in this situation. What do you see? Elapshita, the is Hani, that she did in fact get Hanor from her husband. Now, how is she allowed to do that? If you're telling me that she got Hanor from her husband, so that goes like Rav Nachman, who says, we don't concern ourselves with Hanor, will say she'll be careful not to go to her parents' house. But if you say like Rav Yehuda Merab, how in the world did she get Hanor? It should have been awesome for her to get Hanor, because we should be concerned that she'll break the nether. Alma Mishani. So clearly you see over here that she was Mishani, and we turn to Tezvav Omid Beis, and to Yufta, the Rav Yehuda. This again slugs up Rav Yehuda. So Gemara says, no. Ki Kitane, when we're talking over here, it's not saying that she was allowed to, lechatchila, go and get Hanor from her husband before Pesach. But no, the E is Hani. If she in fact did get Hanor, so then, if she went to her parents, Harei Zeh Bavar Yachal Dvar, then she would be over it. So again, it's not a kasha on Rav Yehuda Merab. He's stating that the Mishnah did not say she was allowed to. It's to say, if she in fact did, so then she would be over by Yachal. Try again. Shlug up Rav Yehuda Merab. Tanan, we learned in that Mishnah that we just mentioned, in the seif of that Mishnah, it says, Sha'at nanis li, if the husband said to his wife, again, not a very strong husband-wife relationship, we're not recommending that type of relationship, but the husband, for whatever the reason, doesn't want his wife to go visit her parents, and he says, you'll be awesome to get Hanor from me, if Sha'at nanis li, can't get Hanor from me, ad chag, until Sukkot's time, chag is always the reference that we use for Sukkot, im telchi lebeis avich ad pesach, if you go to your parents' house before Pesach, so then you can't get Hanor from me up until Sukkot. The opposite of what we just said. So now, the Mishnah says, Holcha lifnei haPesach, if in fact she did go to her parents' house before Pesach, so then the nether kicks in, and she's also to get any Hanor from her husband. And therefore, Asura b'hanoso adachak, and she can't get any Hanor from her husband up until Sukkot's time. However, the Mishnah says, Umuteres lelich achar Pesach, that in fact she would be allowed to go after Pesach, because the nether only said that you can't go to your parents' house up until Pesach time. After that, you could go. So the Mishnah is telling us, Umuteres lelich achar Pesach. Now, the Ran brings down, what in the world is that teaching us? Of course it is. The nether only forbade her to go to her parents' house up until Pesach time. So why would she not be allowed to go after Pesach time? So the Ran tells us the big chiddush over here. We don't say in this situation, in Dira Masul Muteres Lele Chachar Pesach, we don't say, below Chayshina, we're not concerned, Shema Lo Tiskor She'ovro Al Tanoa. We don't say, oh, maybe she's going to forget that she has gone to her parents' house before Pesach, and therefore she's forbidden from her husband to get Hanoa till after Sukkot's time. And if we allow her to go to her parents' house after Pesach, she may forget and get Hanoa from her husband, which she's not allowed to get up until Sukkot's time, since she went before Pesach time. So you might have thought that we shouldn't allow her to go after Pesach time, not to take any chances that she'll get Hanoa from her husband, because she'll forget about it. So therefore, it teaches us in the Mishnah, Muteres Lelech Achar Pesach. There is no problem where they're going to her parents' house after Pesach, because the Neder was only until Pesach. Now, what is this Kasha on Rav Yehuda Marav? Holcha, this tells us that only if she went before Pesach, that then she's Asura to get an Hanoa from her husband up until after Sukkot's time. The implication being, however, lo holcha, if she did not go to her parents' house before Pesach, lo, then she wouldn't be Asur to get Hanoa from her husband. Now, that's exactly what Rav Nachman says. As long as she hasn't gone yet, we're not choshesh that maybe if she does go, that she'll be Asur to get Hanoa. So this is exactly Rav Nachman. But it's a kasha to Yufta on Rav Yehuda, Amarav, because Rav Yehuda said, no, don't get any Hanoa from your husband, because in case you do go to your parents, then retroactively you would be over the neder. So again, to Yufta the Rav Yehuda. But it's not Amarav. Rav says, no. Who hadin dafilulo holchasur? No. This Mishnah is telling us that even if she didn't go to her parents' house, it would be also for her to get Hanoa from her husband, exactly like Rav Yehuda Amarav said. So why did it say holcha? Holcha, and if she did go, so then she has already been forbidden to get hanoa, and asura, it's also for getting hanoa from her husband, and if she did get hanoa, the lo ka. Again, that's the way the Ran would read this, so she gets the malchus. The Rambam would read it, the lo ka, that the husband gets the malchus for allowing her to get hanoa from him. But the implication is, lo holcha, even though she didn't go, Rav Yehuda Marav would explain the Mishnah saying, Asur B'yama. No, then she isn't allowed to, because we're concerned if we get her Hanoa and then she transgresses and goes to her parents, she would be retroactively over the Neder. So therefore, Rav Yehuda Marav would say, this is again a classical example of his Shita, that we do not allow her to go and get any Hanoa now because of the potential that if she does go to her parents' house, that would be retroactively Asur. Try again to shlug up Rav Yehuda Marav. Meisvei, the following Brisa seems to be against what Yehuda Rav says. What does the Brisa say? The Brisa says, Kikar zu olai hayom. This Kikar in front of me should be also to me today. Im eilech lemokum ploni lemocher. If I go to this place tomorrow. So again, this is exactly like the situation. It should be also for me to sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. And this Brisa says that this piece of bread in front of me should be also to me today if I go to such and such a place tomorrow. Now, Achal, if he eats this kikar, so harezeb of ayelech. So then he certainly is not allowed to go to that other place tomorrow. Because he already ate the kikar, and if he goes to the other place, he'll retroactively be over the neder. Now, the Braisa says that he's allowed to go and eat it. Achal, implying lichatchila, he can go and eat it. And if he goes and eats it, then he can't go to that place tomorrow. But that only fits in with Rav Nachman, who says, we're not concerned. Once the neder kicks in, he'll be careful and he won't break the neder. So once he eats the kikar, he better not go to that place tomorrow. Rav Nachman says, okay, so he won't go to the place tomorrow. But Rav Yehuda Marav says, don't go and eat it today because maybe he will go there tomorrow and then retroactively we'll see that he was over the neder. So this goes against Rav Yehuda Marav because it says, ochal, implying that you're allowed to go and eat it and only then don't go to the other place tomorrow. But Rav Yehuda Marav says, don't eat it because you may go to the other place tomorrow. So again, Rav Yehuda Marav would say, no, it doesn't say Ochel, Miketani Ochel, that you're allowed l'chatchila to go and eat the bread. It's telling us b'diavad, he already ate it. Ochel Ketani. So yes, if he went and ate it, he shouldn't have. Rav Yehuda Marav says, don't go eat it. But if he does go and eat it, so then certainly don't go to that place tomorrow, because then you'll be over Baal Yelech. You'd be over going to the place that you're not allowed to go to. The Chi Ochel, once you already ate it, Harei Zeh B'Baal Yelech, then you're also to go. But it's not against what Rav Yehuda Marav says. However, the Gemara says, no, the rest of the Braisa is still a kasha on Rav Yehuda Marav. Because Holach, the Braisa then continues and says, if he in fact went to that place that he asked himself to go to, if he eats the kikar today, then he is over his neder, because he went to that place after he ate the kikar on the first day. So that implies, mahalech lo, that he's not allowed to go there Holach means he went there, meaning, of course, he's not allowed to go there. Mahalich lo. Now, if it tells you that he's not allowed to go there because then he'll be over the nether, it must be that he ate the kikar on the first day. If he ate the kikar on the first day, so then that's like Rav Nachman. It's a kasha. That's not what Rav Yehuda or Rav said. Again, the kasha of Rav Yehuda or Rav. So Rav Yehuda would say, no, hu hadin the listing mahalich. In fact, he could have said mahalich, that he's allowed to go there, lichatchila, because he was forbidden to go and eat it on the first day, like Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says. Aye, what did it say, mahalach? So the Gemara says, I did the ketani reisha ochal, since the reisha used the terminology ochal, that he ate it, the lo misnele ochal, because he's not allowed to go and eat it, it's only bidyevet that he ate it. So too, the sefer, to be parallelism, to be consistent, also uses the lashon of holach, tani sefer holach. But it doesn't mean that he's allowed to go, obviously he can't go, if he ate it the first day. So it's telling us, if he goes the second day, then he's over his nether. But again, lechatchila, you shouldn't go and eat it, and everything is consistent with review of the rabbi. So we haven't shlugged him up. The Mishnah then said, Homer lo isha konam shani mishamshech. The end of the Mishnah said that if a man says to his wife that it should be osis for you to get hanor from me if you have relations with me, harei ze beval yachal dvar. So the Mishnah had said that he's over this nether if she has relations with him. Now the Gemara says, how could that possibly be? She is entitled to have relations with him. So how can he ask her that on her? It doesn't seem to work. The pasuk tells us in Mishpatim, that he has to go and provide her with these essentials of the marriage. He has to give her Sheira, which is usually translated as food. He has to give her Ksusa, which is usually translated as clothing. And Onasa is marital relations with her, conjugal relations. There are other ways to translate some of this, but clearly the onasa is referring over here to the fact that she's entitled. That's a shibud that he has on her. So how can he answer that to her? So Gemara says, you're right. You can't answer it if you just said it in that lashon. However, if he says, ba'omer, if the husband said to his wife, hanas tashmish sheikh olai, that I cannot get hanah from tashmish with you. You're right, you are entitled to have tashmish with me, but he's asking himself to have hanah from tashmish with her. That therefore asks him to have tashmish with her. Technically, she could have tashmish with him, but since he's going to get hanah, so that's how this nether can go and take effect. And this is based upon what Rav Kahana had said. The Omer Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana explained, Tashmishi olecha, if a woman says to her husband that it's also for you to have tashmish with me, so she doesn't have the right to do that, because that's one of the entitlements of marriage, that he's allowed to have tashmish with her, and kofino sa umisham shaso. So they can force her, so to say, to break this nether, and he can have relations with her. If she refuses, he would be entitled to divorce her without having to give her a ksuba. The shabude mishabadisle, because part of the marriage is that each partner, the husband and the wife, will agree to have relations with each other. You can have a marriage without the financial aspects, but you can't have a marriage without the intimacy. So while the wife is permitted to tell her husband, listen, I don't want your support and I won't give you my salary, they can have a marriage that doesn't have any financial connection with each other, but they can't have a marriage. We say, okay, we'll be married, but there is no relations. So that type of a marriage is not allowed. So therefore, in this situation where she asks her husband and says, Tashmishi olecha, so she can't do that because that's his right and she can't ask something to him. But Rav Kahana says, if she were to say, Hanoas Tashmishcha olai, if she says, I ask myself to get Hanoah from Tashmish with you, so then, also, that in fact would take effect. And that's exactly the similar case that we just had over here, where the husband says that, yes, while I can't asser relations on you because that's a sheba that you have on me, I can asser myself to get pleasure. I can asser that hanah from you. So too, the wife can do the same to him. And that's what Rav Kahana says, shein machlil lo liodom dover oslo. Because in this situation, whether it's the husband who says he'll asser himself to get the hanah from his wife, or the wife who says, I asser myself to get the hanah from you, so then, when they do have relations in that situation, you'd be feeding the person something that's asser to them. And therefore, Rav Kahana says, "Ein machilin lo liodum davar ha'asalo," and in this situation, the nether can in fact be effectuated, even though there is a permissibility, if you wish, a shibud that each one has on the other to have relations with them, and you normally can't ask something that a person has a right to. But here, since they're saying the isra of hanor should be upon me, so that they have the right to say, so the husband could asser himself getting hanor from the wife could asser herself getting hanor from the husband in that situation, and that's how the neder would take effect. Okay, this was a somewhat complicated sugya, albeit a relatively short shiur. We'll stop over here with this. We conclude today's shiur.